interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Have you ever wondered why the news plays the same five stories again and again? Let me give you a little hint. Brainwashing and repetition is the most basic form of brainwashing. Join me as we look at the news cycle and talk about why the mainstream media is so gutless and afraid to report the truth. Welcome to Conspiracy News with Michael Strange. We are back for season two. And what the show is about is, of course, all the things that are conspiracy in the news. And this show, of course, as you well know, many of you that have been following us for quite some time and been part of the family here and part of the whole Troubled Minds crew, you understand that there's a conspiracy that is the news, itself. And I think it's worth talking about. So this show, actually, this is season two. We've got 50 episodes of this under our belt. Just needed a break. Tons of work. All of this is a lot of work. And some days you just you're tired. Sometimes you get tired. And there's other things that need to get done as well. So just took a break here for season one that ended. I don't know. It seems like a long time ago, forever ago. But anyway, regardless of all that, we're back. I'm going to try and make sure we do at least a couple shows of this per week and keep going forward like that. So we don't. I just don't want to burn out. You do a lot of this, and sometimes, like I said, it's hard to get started because, well, it feels like every day blends into the other. So maybe that's part of the conspiracy as well. So this show, that's what the show's about. It's about the conspiracy that is the news, and the news being the conspiracy, because it's all brainwash, right? We talk about it, repetition and brainwashing and the rest of this stuff. It's all part of what they do. It's all part of the division politic. It's all part of the fact that we're made to hate each other, right? I think that's really kind of what this is about. And that kind of looking back to maybe a more pure era where there was news. It was just news. It was simply news. It wasn't news to change your mind about anything, really. It was just informing you of what happens in the world. And there are some crazy things that happen in this world, but that they don't get covered. They don't get talked about. And so that's part of what we do on Troubled Minds. That's the other show. If you guys are new to that, we do that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific. And we talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. We talk about aliens and all kinds of, you know, like stuff that's probably needs to be talked about and just doesn't get enough coverage, at least proper coverage, in my opinion. So that's what we're doing. That's what that show's about. And this show here, Conspiracy News, is exactly about the news. So with that said, let's just get into the news. And so this is officially episode one of season two of this show. So like I said, we're not rookies here. We've been doing this a while. It's my dog chirping in the back. Don't mind her. That's what the deal is here. If you're new and don't know what's happening, so the way it works is we, for the other show, we stream with multi-stream. So we stream on DLive, Facebook, and YouTube. But to monetize on Twitch here, we're not allowed to do that because they have like a 24-hour exclusivity period. So it's so we have to do this exclusively on Twitch, and then 24 hours later it gets pushed over to a podcast, and also to YouTube. It'll go straight to the YouTube channel as well. So anyway, all that aside, I'll get that out of the way, and let's look at the news. Let's look at the news. Now, this one actually I shared in the Discord. By the way, speaking of Discord and the rest of that, I didn't finish the blurb. So as part of the other show and this show as well, we have that whole transparency bit, right? So I share my sources. I always do, because I want you to find where I got this information from. I'm not making these things up. So as part of that, I want to make sure that you guys have access to say, hey, WTF, Mr. Strange, what's going on with this crap? That's propaganda. Cool. You know, I'm human, and that's fine. And that's why we talk about these things. But there's always an open line to this show and the other show. If you agree or disagree, the only thing I ask is we be civil to each other. That's it. We can agree and disagree, and we can still be friends, and it's all good. Like I said, it's not what the mainstream media wants us to do. So I think we should, put it in their face and say, screw you. We can disagree and have a good conversation and still be friends and have a beer at the end of the day. So there you go. If you want to be part of the show, we have an open phone line, 702-957-1037. You can go to troubledminds.org. That's the official website of this show and the other show, Troubled Minds, of course. And there's a Discord link as well, so we're taking your calls on Discord and on the phone line. I'm watching both. So, all right, let's do it. Let's go to this. Now, this is reported by CBS News, and so I did share this in the Discord yesterday or a couple days ago. It just hit, and so we did a show on this not too long ago on Troubled Minds, and the deal is that they call this the Havana Syndrome, okay? And what it means is it's a some sort of directed energy weapon of sorts. And, like we said back in the day, at first they said it was some sort of audio weapon, it's a low frequency audio that did damage to people, that actually did brain damage and causes long term, all kinds of terrible stuff. Right. Well, and that was in Cuba. And then they also reported that it was in an embassy in Cuba, an embassy in Russia, I believe. And then also, I think we heard recently that it was happening around Syria as well. So I don't know. Like, these are the things that as the news cycle kind of chunks these things out, we look at it and we remember. Like I said, our memory doesn't have to be a 24-hour news cycle. I recall when this came out and they said it was an audio weapon, and then they said it was a microwave weapon, and now they're calling it a directed energy weapon of sorts, this Havana Syndrome. But okay, so this, back to this, the CBS News article. Now, this is a little bit more scary, and this is what I was talking about specifically with this particular thing, this weapon, whatever this thing is. Check it out. Headline reads this: U.S. investigates suspected energy attack near the White House. Yes, not just a White House, the actual White House. You know where the president lives? Yeah. So crazy stuff. Look at this. So this was updated April 30th, 2021, yesterday. Law enforcement agencies are investigating two possible directed energy attacks on government employees on U.S. soil. All right. We're straight from the article here. One of the alleged energy attacks, actually, let's go so you can see what I'm reading. One of the alleged energy attacks occurred on the south side of the White House in November and is believed to have sickened a White House aide. That incident followed a similar one in 2019 in a Virginia suburb, which reportedly injured an aide walking her dog. All right. The alleged victim's conditions are not known, but the White House confirmed that President Biden has been briefed on one of the incidents. Senators are demanding answers on the mystery attacks. Quote, "There are personnel who have been harmed. We need to make sure they get the care and benefits they need," New Hampshire Senator Jeanne Shaheen said. Sounds like something a politician would say. Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines said leaders are focused on the critically important issue. And in the other, when we talked about this maybe a week, 10 days ago, something like that, they hadn't actually announced that these attacks were taking place on U.S. soil. But in this case, this is exactly what's happening. They're saying that right on the White House premises, just outside, they had an aide stricken, and by whatever this is, whatever this directed energy weapon is. And then again, in the suburbs in Virginia, another government aide walking their dog was also afflicted by this. And so now this is a big problem, right? Like, we've talked about, weapons that are used to make people sick. You know what I'm saying? Wink, wink. When you make people sick and, you get a whatever this thing was the past year or so. But this in particular, this thing in particular is, like I said, horrifying because you can't really tell what's happening, where it's being deployed, when it's happening. And then it causes long-term damage to these people. Like there's some guy, there was an article a while back where they were talking about specifically a guy who was hit by this. I think it was in Cuba when he got hit down there at the embassy, the U.S. embassy. But I guess it's literally ruined his life. The guy has memory problems now. There's a lot of things, like he cannot function in regular society anymore. And I think that's part of the problem with this is that, like I said, it's exactly what we said. It's a silent weapon for a quiet war is the term there that we used when we did the other show on Troubled Minds. But specifically here is that if these attacks are happening on U.S. soil, we have another problem entirely, don't we? And so the question is, who's behind this, right? I think that's the biggest question. And when we first talked about this, not very first, but recently on the show on Troubled Minds, I was speculating that they were claiming it was Russia. Okay, that's what they claimed. But my speculation was that it could be anybody. It could be anything. These could be non-state actors. So it's difficult to tell. We don't know how big this machine is, how big the weapon is. Could it fit in a suitcase? Could it fit in a lunch pail? You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the types of questions that need to be answered at this point. Like, what is this? Is it somebody suggested it was maybe like a satellite weapon, kind of blasting people from space? I mean, who knows? Like, and this is exactly what we're talking about and why this stuff is critical and it should be top of the news cycle, in my opinion, but it's not. For whatever reason, it just is not. Thanks, guys, for resubbing up. Thank you, 40s out there for the bits. I appreciate that a lot, guys. It does help pay the bills for the show, and there are bills for the show. So thank you so much. Okay, so let's go. So that's again, we'll keep an eye on this as it develops because this is brand new, but this is now happening on U.S. soil and it's happening to government employees. Okay, and that's really part of the problem, right? That's really a big deal here when you talk about anything, really. I mean, attacks on U.S. soil, right? And not only that, to government employees. It's something to watch. It's something to pay attention to. So there you go. All right. So there's more. Let's go to businessinsider.com. So as you know, open lines, taking your calls if you guys want to be part of this and have comments on any of this stuff. This is more of a shorter form show, so I ask that you keep it brief. Maybe I'll give you a couple minutes if you want to call. Usually I'll let you go for 10 or 15 or even 20 on the other show. It just depends. But so anyway, phone number's up, 702-957-1037. What do you think about that Havana syndrome and the rest of that stuff that's happening? Is it now that it's happening on U.S. soil, like I said, lots of questions here. Who's really behind this? How big is this weapon? Like I stated the first time around, it's a little bit terrifying that it can just happen. You know, you like I said, maybe it's the size of a lunch pail and they put it right outside your room where you're sleeping, your house, your whatever, and they just turn this thing on and let it go for a couple hours and you wake up with brain damage. Like that's horrifying. Like there's no way to stop that. And that's where we're at in this day and age. So anyway, all right, let's go to this one. This is from Business Insider, and so I'm linking my sources so you can check it out. Now, this is what's been going on this weekend past couple days. So Business Insider reports that in a NASA simulation of an asteroid impact, scientists concluded they couldn't stop a rock from decimating Europe. Yeah, how about that? So scientists around the world have been bamboozled this week by a fictitious asteroid heading toward Earth. Now, interestingly, this is what we would call a tabletop exercise, right? A tabletop exercise or something to this effect. Very much like the Event 201. You guys remember that when Bill Gates and those guys got together, I think Johns Hopkins, and they simulated a pandemic, right? And then not a year later, we had a similar pandemic. Interesting. So now we have one of these exercises where a group of scientists, experts from U.S. and European space agencies attended a week-long exercise led by NASA in which they faced a hypothetical scenario. An asteroid 35 million miles away was approaching the planet and can hit within 6 months. With each passing day of the exercise, the participants learned more about the asteroid's size, trajectory, and chance of impact. Then they had to cooperate and use their technological knowledge to see if anything could be done to stop the space rock. And, well, how do you think that turned out? I'll give you a little hint. This is from SciTech Daily, and the headline reads, "Huge region of Europe destroyed by asteroid impact in planetary defense exercise." As funny as that is, I mean, it's not funny. Good thing it's fictitious, but it kind of illustrates, like we've been saying on this show, as you know, part of the family, and we get a lot of people that call in and contribute and stuff, is that the world we live in is not guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed, and you never know what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen the next day. As the last couple years here have taught us, is you just never know. And these types of things do happen. And so the moral of this story is we are woefully underprepared for something like this. Because even they were given 6 months, 6 months prep time, theoretical prep time. And so, you know, it's a tabletop exercise. It takes about a week to accomplish. And they, you know, speed through the 6 month timeline pretty quickly because you get to say, okay, well, let's build this or let's build that. Launch this rocket, deploy that. And then so it takes us many days to do these things, right? And so they're able to just kind of count, and you know, it's kind of like a role-playing game, like a bad role-playing game. But they failed. They basically failed. And so instead of given a six-month timeline to stop an asteroid impact, they were hit. Boom. Well, they were hit. Like I said, it's one of those funny, not funny things, but it is where we're at. It is where we're at in the world, where we're always depressed with the human hubris and all the rest of this, which we talk about often. But when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, in this situation, it's not. We don't have the technology now to be able to quickly spring into gear and get these things done. And the horrifying part about that is, among many other things, is that we should. I mean, given that, you know, we can put a man on the moon, they say. So why on earth couldn't we stop an asteroid? Especially when with a 6 month lead time like that. And then not only that it doesn't really take a ton of force to really bump an asteroid off course, so it misses us. So I don't know. I mean, there's a whole lot there to think about, a lot to talk about, which is, it's a talk show after all. That's what we do. So, all right. Anyway, as we kind of talk about this stuff and do our thing, I'm going to continue to put this up. If you guys want to be part of the show, 702-957-1037. TroubledMinds.org is the website, and you could join the Discord there as well. Lots of smart people in Discord. If you have not, come say hi, come share your links, come share your ideas, and just, it's really only one rule, respect each other and don't be a douchebag. It's as simple as that, right? I think that's pretty simple, and not even asking that much, to be perfectly honest. But okay, here we go. So this is a quick word from our sponsor, and our sponsor is basically you. So the reason I do this is because instead of me explaining this poorly, I recorded it one time and then I could just play it and you guys could understand. So here we go. Here's a word from our sponsor. It's real fast.
Are you digging the show? If so, you can support us quite easily and at no additional cost to you if you already have an Amazon Prime account. Since we stream on Twitch every day, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and they give you free games on a monthly basis for your personal use, and also a bonus $5 a month to send to your favorite streamer as a way to bring more people to Twitch. And all you have to do is sync up the two accounts and click subscribe. Thanks for considering us.
There you go. Easy as that, right? That was pretty painless. Okay, so many of you have subbed up to the Twitch channel. I appreciate that a lot. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, there you go. It's as easy as that. Thank you again. Shout out to 40s out there for letting me know back in the day that this was a possible thing. All right, let's continue here. Now, there's more fun news. This article just came out. Now, as many of you know, on the other show on Troubled Minds, we talk about UFOs quite often, and there's a whole range of things to talk about with UFOs. Clearly, I think at some point you can't really say You know, are they real? I think definitely, you know, most people understand that UFOs are real, being that a UFO stands for unidentified flying object, right? So that means there's things in the sky that we don't know what they are. And it could be foreign adversarial stuff. It could be our own technology that we're kind of playing coy with so that Russia or China doesn't catch wind that we're doing, you know, shenanigans. Who knows? And that's part of the conversation, right? So just by bringing up UFOs, it doesn't necessarily mean little green men, though the implication could be there as well, interdimensional stuff, all kinds of whack stuff. But anyway, the point being is that we do talk about UFOs often on the other show, and we pay attention very closely to what happens in the news cycle regarding UFOs. We have basically individuals like George Knapp that have been reporting UFOs for a very long time. He's actually a reporter here in Las Vegas, and he actually broke the Bob Lazar story back in 1989, if you guys remember that. And so he, from time to time, he'll break new stories. He'll have new information. He'll have photographs that, you know, supposedly come from the government, things like this. And so not just him, but kind of the other news in the UFO community we pay a close attention to, because you never know, like some interesting things pop up. And we may do a whole show on this coming up next week, because on Troubled Minds, because there's a lot in this article that I'm about to share here. I did link it. Okay, so it's linked in the chat. Now check this out. So for those of you that aren't really aware of the UFO, let's say, mythology, the timeline, the drama from all the way back from Roswell in 1947 to what's going on today, okay? There's been a lot between here and there. This article is actually pretty amazing for somebody who's interested in UFOs but doesn't know all the names, right? If I say George Knapp or Lou Elizondo, and you're like, who are those guys, right? But you want to know, this article is fantastic. Let me show you. I'm going to just buzz through this, and I'm going to grab the sidebar here and scroll, scroll, scroll. Look, this is literally a huge mega article, really framing the entire UFO conversation from Roswell in 1947 all the way to the present day. Like, it's an unbelievable job done by this guy. Gideon Lewis Krause is the guy's name that wrote this. And it's a really, really great article. It's probably take you 20 minutes to read, 25 minutes, something like that, depending on how fast you read. But I highly recommend it if you're interested in UFOs at all and what's actually going on today with the topic and with the media and everything. This is kind of like your go-to source. I'm going to save this. I'll actually pin this up in the Discord. So if anybody wants to kind of catch up to the modern day ufology, you've got it. You've got it right here. Ufology, I guess you would say. But anyway, so there's a lot here. So it starts with Stephen Greer, right? May 9th, 2001, and kind of goes through. Again, they touch on Roswell. They touch on Leslie Keene, who's a writer that's been interested in UFOs for a very long time and wrote that famous piece in the New York Times in 2017, which kind of jump started the entire the Tic Tacs and the Nimitz incident and the rest of that stuff. Like I said, if you're not familiar with any of that or kind of sketchy on the details, this article is for you because it literally details almost everything. What's up, Dibber? Says Stephen Greer is a con man, and I can't really say I disagree with you there. But he's changed a lot. I think in 2009 he probably was a little different of a person, in my opinion, than he is today. But whatever, right? So change for the better, change for the worse, whatever you want to call it. But okay, so anyway, now, like I said, this article kind of covers it all. But now there's something very specific in here that I want to point out that's new. So many times when an article comes out, gets a bunch of fanfare, everybody's excited on Twitter about it, all this stuff, right? It's not new stuff. Many times it's like regurgitated stuff. It's like, some official citing something from the past or something like this, right? But in this one, check this out. There's actually a line in here discussing Harry Reid, right? Everybody remembers the actual Senate guy from Nevada that was Senate Minority Majority Leader for a very long time, and has recently retired in the last Chuck Schumer took his place. So as long as Chuck Schumer's been around, this guy's been retired, okay? Yeah, Chuck Schumer as the Senate leader for the Democrats. Anyway, I digress. But now there's a new thing in it, and I'm gonna link this here, and this is the important part. And thanks, Fox, for the autoplay. All right, so we have this. I'm gonna link it, and this is straight from that one mega article that I wrote. And headline is this. This is from Fox News. Former Senator Harry Reid thinks Lockheed Martin may have UFO fragments. All right. Now you think about that. And it's been rumored quite a lot that Robert Bigelow, again, if you don't know these names, check out that other article. They're all in there. You're going to get Harry Reid, Robert Bigelow. You're going to get Lou Elizondo. You're going to get all Stephen Greer. You're going to get Leslie Keene. Tons of people in that article. They talk about Roswell. They talk about the cover up. They talk about all kinds of stuff. Read it if you haven't, if you want to get caught up. Like I said, I can't recommend it enough. But in that article, about two-thirds of the way down, they have a quote from Harry Reid where he says this. Quote, "I was told for decades that Lockheed," which of course means Lockheed Martin, a government contractor here in the States, that builds airplanes and all kinds of, secret stuff. So he, quote, "I was told for decades that Lockheed had some of these retrieved materials," the Democrat told the magazine. "And I tried to get, as I recall, a classified approval by the Pentagon to have me go look at the stuff. They would not approve that," Reid continued. "I don't know what all the numbers were, what kind of classification it was, but they would not give that to me." Now, basically, if you're the Senate majority leader or minority leader, if you're in the minority of the party at the time, you would expect to have clearance is as high as anything, right? Like you would actually be top of that list to be able to see these things. But if he's being truthful here and remembering correctly, because he says, from my memory, he says, "as I recall." Okay, so that's political speak sometimes for just talking out your ass, right? So who knows? Who really knows here? But he said this, right? Is that he tried to get access to UFO material. Actually crash. I mean, right. And said that Lockheed Martin had access to this. Okay. Now that's the weird part about all this is this is really kind of the bombshell from that first article on the New Yorker there that I linked, is that, the statement inside this article is that Harry Reid says this, that Lockheed Martin may have actual crash debris from UFOs. Or pieces of these things, and which of course kind of fits the narrative of the Bob Lazar thing, right? Is that he said that in 1989 he was working out at Area 51 and they had actually hired him to reverse engineer UFOs. All right, well, if that's really the case, and Senator Harry Reid, now ex-senator, retired, says that he tried to get UFO fragments, debris, crash debris, whatever you want to call it, from Lockheed Martin. And he's kind of corroborating that a little bit, right? He's kind of corroborating that this is, a lot of this stuff may be right. Based on, I just don't know. Based on what? Based on his memory? Based on the fact that he was denied access, he says? I don't know. But doesn't it change quite a lot of things if this is true? If this is true, then he very much is admitting that the government in some capacity, whether it's through private contractors or not, that they are able to have, we found UFOs, crashed UFOs or shot them down or whatever, right? Whatever it happens to be. And maybe that's what's in our skies now. Maybe it is reverse UFO stuff, like technology that we're using for ourselves. Who knows? Thank you for the cheer there. I see you, an anonymous cheer. Appreciate that. But now this is the thing, right? All of this, I don't know. Like the thing is, you guys know me. This is, I say on the other show, and I mean it. I don't have the answers here. I'm just trying to parse the information and get to the bottom of this the best I can logically, mostly logically. Like everybody else, I want to believe. I want to believe there's little green men. I want to believe that it's possible aliens are here or have been here or are soon going to be here. But I don't have those answers. I can't confirm or deny any of that. But, so when something like this comes out, it changes the paradigm of the conversation. And that's part of why we do this, to kind of have that open forum. And speaking of open forum, what do you think about this? That former Senator Harry Reid thinks Lockheed Martin may have UFO fragments, right there from the Fox News article. You can be a part of the show. Give me a call. Tell me what you think. 702-957-1037, troubledminds.org, the official website for this podcast and the other. And what the heck, right? Does this mean there's actual UFO parts out there floating around or whatever the hell's going on over there. I don't know. I can't tell you. Like I said, I'm not the answers guy. I'm the questions guy. But anyway, you get it, right? You get what I'm saying, and it could change everything. So I think that's the worst part of it, is that something this big kind of comes and goes from the news cycles, and it's like a shrug your shoulders type of situation. Like, well, you know, maybe. but literally, if this, we have somebody from the government, especially a high ranking official like Harry Reid, admitting that he recalls, Lockheed Martin had UFO debris. And he wanted to see it, and he was denied access. Now, an interesting note about that is that if the government actually was in possession of these things, you could FOIA request this stuff, right? Which I'm sure all the FOIA people are going nuts trying to get their Freedom of Information Act requests out so that they can get information on this. But if Lockheed Martin is the one that actually has this debris, this, quote, UFO debris, then I don't think... Right, they are a government contractor for sure, but they're also a private company. So I think, I may be wrong on this, but it seems like maybe they're exempt from the FOIA process and they're able to hide this, and maybe that's why they do it that way. I don't know. It seems, like I said, it seems a little weird, a little suspicious that he'd say that a private company has it. In the New Yorker, the guy who wrote that first article there that I pointed out, the long one, he said that they reached out to Lockheed Martin for a comment, and of course they got no comment. So you tell me. I have no idea. All right, let's go to this one. This is from NPR.org. More propaganda, at least the source. But the headline is this: Pope Francis issues orders aimed at cracking down on Vatican corruption. Yeah, Vatican corruption. Pope Francis is taking additional steps to crack down on corruption at the Vatican by decreeing that all bishops and cardinals be tried if they are suspected of criminal behavior. This marks the second time in 2 days that the Pope has worked to hold top church officials accountable for their actions. No, you don't say. Right? This is one of those, after allowing them to get away with murder and rape and all kinds of terrible things forever, maybe this is a good thing. But again, right? They're their own sovereign country, the Vatican. And so they can do whatever the hell they want, right? They're kind of outside the law in that regard. So it continues, under the law published Friday, Vatican-based high prelates who work in the Holy See will be tried by the lay court that also hears criminal cases. They will no longer be given special judicial treatment by a body made up of high-ranking clergy members known as the Court of Cassation. Yeah. The court of letting them get away with it is what I call it. The measure comes after 8 years of the Pope's calls to reform the Vatican. Just 3 days after his election in 2013, Francis made clear his vision of what the Catholic Church should be. Quote, "Oh, how I would love a poor church for the poor." Oh, see, he had to actually amend it, because when you say poor church, well, that means the considerable assets of the Vatican would have to be given up, right? They would have to be donated to the poor. So you have to say, not a poor church, for the poor, right? Yeah, right. Got it, buddy. And the thing is, I can't really speak directly to the character of this man, clearly, but he is part of a, traditionally corrupt establishment here. And so, saying you're going to hold priests and bishops accountable, high-ranking ones that have not been held accountable in the past, well, I don't have a lot of faith at this point that he's going to really make this happen. It's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. So anyway, interesting stuff. So here we go. Another quick word from our sponsor, just to make sure that you guys know you can support us if you like the show, and we'll keep on trucking. It also gives me a second to take a sip of coffee here. So here we go.
Are you digging the show? If so, you can support us quite easily and at no additional cost to you if you already have an Amazon Prime account. Since we stream on Twitch every day, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and they give you free games on a monthly basis for your personal use, and also a bonus $5 a month to send to your favorite streamer as a way to bring more people to Twitch. And all you have to do is sync up the two accounts and click subscribe. Thanks for considering us.
Okay, fantastic. Here we go. Let's go to CNET. Let's go. Let's move away from the Vatican and the Holy See, and we'll go to CNET, the good stuff. So this is one we were actually tracking. We did a show on Troubled Minds about this not too long ago as well, about deploying the first helicopter on an alien planet, all right? The first actual flying device. And so since then, we actually haven't actually got around to it. It was about to happen when we did that show. And they were about to schedule the first flight, and they hadn't done it yet. So at this point now, they've actually had four flights. They had the first one was delayed, and then the first flight went up to 10 feet and then straight back down, right? Just to make sure that everything worked. Then they went higher, straight up and down to, I think, 15 feet, and then straight back down. And then they went, did like some kind of like little zigzag, like went up and then sideways and then back down, something like this. And now this thing is actually flown a little further than that. So, you know, they're taking this in baby steps. I don't know how long this is going to go on, because the first thing I read said it was going to be five total flights. And so this is the fourth flight, and this is all we get. I think that's a little disappointing considering the cost to get the thing up there. But anyway, here we go. So NASA's high-risk, high-reward Ingenuity helicopter is pouring on the rewards. It completed its fourth and most ambitious test flight across Mars on Friday. Success, NASA JPL tweeted, saying Ingenuity went farther and faster than ever before. And again, this is on Mars. This thing's flying on Mars, they say. So NASA also shared a nifty image from one of the Perseverance rover's cameras showing the helicopter in flight in the distance. And it's right here in the... Now, interestingly, right there in the past, there have been photographs from Mars where there appear to be things flying in the background, right? And you're like, what the hell is that, really? But in this case, we have an actual photograph from the rover taking a picture of the first flying device. They say they're telling us. On Mars. So, you know, again, like I've said, and I really believe this, that they don't tell us everything about the space program, because NASA is a PR front for a secret space program. It just is. And so the information we get is clearly not all accurate. They redact data, and they, you know, as they say, right, the old NASA, NASA is never a straight answer. And there's a reason for that. You know, there's people that believe, you know, 100% in the things they're told from these guys, but yeah, I don't buy a lot of it. You know, of course, I'm not saying it's fake. I'm not saying any of that, but I am saying that they, in a PR manner, they spin information, and that's part of the problem here. So anyway, so they flew. So Ingenuity had originally been scheduled for a fourth flight on Thursday, but a known glitch prevented the rotorcraft from switching into flight mode. The chopper remained safe and healthy and ready for the redo. So the plan for the latest test was to fly the helicopter at an altitude of 16 feet, which is 5 meters for you metric types, collect images of the landscape below, hover, and then head back to its takeoff spot. The flight path was set to take its 436 feet downrange and last 117 seconds. So as you see, it's 400 feet or something. It's not like a colossal thing here. It's cool. But I mean, if they're going to really just do that and then like retire this thing, I'm going to be really disappointed. You know, at least push it to the limits and fly this sucker somewhere that we want to see, you know. Part of the problem is for the Mars rovers, once they get there, it's a pain in the ass to drive around, right? Because of the rocks and the craters and the this or the that. Well, this doesn't have to deal with any of that. It takes off and it goes wherever you want it to go. So I think that's part of the problem is I'd like to see some ambitious stuff here and not just, you know, fly up in the air and land and say, yay, we did it, right? And so I'm hoping for a little bit more, but you know, hope is not a proper strategy, as they say. So, but of course, I'm not involved with NASA in any capacity, so I'm just some knucklehead talking about it. So anyway, here we go. Let's continue, shall we? Let's go to the New York Times and talking about the universe, you know, talking about Mars and space and the rest of this. This is from the New York Times, and the headline is Michio Kaku says the universe is simpler than we think. That's weird. That's weird. Like, you know, I mean, he's well respected. He's kind of been on all kinds of shows, and, you know, I don't know. Like, he's probably a lot more more fun, in my opinion, than Neil deGrasse, just because he's less annoying, you know. But it doesn't make him more or less right. I don't know. Anyway, so he says, so the quest is a controversial one, right? Meaning that there is a one, like just basically the secrets of the universe in one equation is kind of what they're looking for, to be able to combine the standard model of physics with Einstein's relativity and then be able to combine them into one coherent thing. All right. So he's saying it's simpler than you think, but here we go. He says this, right now, the known laws of the universe, quote, the theory of almost everything, he calls it, can be written down on a single sheet of paper. There's Einstein's general relativity on one line and then a couple more for the standard model. The problem is that the two theories hate each other, he said. They're based on different math, different principles. Every time you put them together, it blows up in your face. Why should nature be so clumsy? He says, because it's not, he hopes. Where in English departments, hundreds of PhD, these are created every year because we want to know what Hemingway really meant to him. Physics is the exact opposite of that. The equations get simpler and simpler, but more fundamental and more powerful every year. So he basically says, when we find the rules that govern the chess game, Kaku said, we then become grandmasters. That's our destiny, I think, as a species. So, you know, that's exciting, right? I mean, does that mean that we'll be creating our own UFOs soon? Thank you again for sending the bits, guys. Appreciate that. So I don't know. I think given that this guy thinks it's simpler than we think, maybe we're missing some elusive piece of the puzzle, right? Grand chess masters, he says, as his metaphor here, which sounds cool to me. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right? I think that's pretty all right. But how we get there from here to there, you got me. So anyway, we're going to continue here. Now, this is one that you probably, let's see. Where is it? Let's see. I'm going to just highlight this one here because we'll read that in a sec. Okay, so the article here is this. This is from Wired.com. And the headline is How Pixar Uses Hypercolors to Hack Your Brain. right, and it's a very long article, so pretty in depth, which is good stuff. Like I said, I always share the sources. I want you to read these things and read them in their entirety, right? So I'm just kind of doing a brief here, kind of like the newsman reading the headlines of what I think is important, what I think that people should be talking about. But anyway, so again, How Pixar Uses Hypercolors to Hack Your Brain. The animation studio's artists are masters at tweaking light and color to trigger deep emotional responses. Coming soon, effects you'll only see inside your head. Yeah, right? Sick stuff. So let's go down to the part highlighted here. So when it comes to wringing emotion from color, Pixar cheats. In a very special screening room at Pixar's Emeryville, California headquarters is a very special screen. It's not huge, perhaps just 10 feet across, and it's at the front of a room dominated by a huge control panel studded with five smaller computer monitors and at least two keyboards. The ceiling is covered in felt, and the carpet squares are black instead of the gray that's standard at Pixar to keep light contamination to a minimum. Right? Sounds like a really bizarre laboratory, right? So it continues. Explaining what comes next requires me to deliver some bad news. Remember the primary colors you learned in elementary school? Red, blue, and yellow, right? So yeah, that's wrong. You were supposed to be able to mix those into all the other colors, but that never worked, did it? Blue and yellow were supposed to be green, but you got brown. Red and blue, supposed to make purple, but you got brown. And that's partially because subtractive colors reflect some wavelengths of light and absorb others. Mix them together and you absorb more and reflect less. Things get dark. Unless you carefully manage the pigments in the mixing and you start with the primaries cyan, magenta, yellow, and black, then yeah, right? Okay, so this continues. So the big screen isn't a typical projector. Instead, mounted on the wall behind is a custom-built Dolby Cinema projector head. If you've been to a theater with a Dolby setup, you're looking at images cast by a projector that was actually a pair of triple-barreled laser guns. Red, green, and blue beams capable of combining to produce a range of colors. All right, so anyway, like I said, it's a pretty in-depth article. There's lots here. Read through this if you can. Now, the interesting part is that they are, right, as kind of like, you know, cartoons have always kind of been like this, or like the candy commercials, or, you know, you want like these unnatural colors that pop, you know, that clearly draw the eye. But if they're doing this properly, then of course they're what are they doing? It's sort of a mesmerizing brainwash type of situation where, just based on colors, they're able to kind of hack your brain, crack in, and make you transfixed, let's say, where you can't look away. So there's a science to this, and it's a little bit spooky, a little bit scary, and yeah. So anyway, that's what's up. That's what we're talking about. Again, this is Conspiracy News with Michael Strange. If you want to be part of the show at any point, you can give us a call, 702-957-1037. You can go to troubledminds.org, the official website, click the Discord link, and join us that way. All right, some coffee. Now, okay, so there you go. Pixar's trying to hack your brain, right? Like everybody's trying to hack our brain. And this is what we're talking about all the time, is that it's not just, you know, entertainment. It's literally brainwash, right? Repetition, brainwashing, things like this. You hack the color and, you know, you make these unnatural colors and transfix people's attentions. And what do you get? You get a bunch of droolers, right, staring at the screen that can't look away. And you don't even know why you can't look away. Have you ever been like, let's say, doing chores around the house, and some movie comes on, and you just find yourself like standing there, kind of like mouth half slack open, staring at the screen, and you've seen the movie a dozen times, but for some reason you just sit there and stare at it anyway. It's like, and there's commercials that's playing on TV, so you just like endure through commercials, just slack jawed staring at the screen. You see, like there's some subliminal stuff there that I think is worth looking at and worth talking about. So anyway, let's continue. Let us continue, shall we? This next one, this is from the News and Observer, which is newsobserver.com. And this is weird, right? This is weird. This is where the world starts to get really, really weird. So after years as a meme, Disaster Girl takes control of her image with a hefty payoff, all right? Now, this is weird. All right. So Zoe Roth couldn't stop checking her phone. What's it at now? What's it at now? Her coworkers asked as they passed by the hostess stand at the Italian restaurant Il Palio. She gave a live play-by-play, and everyone on the staff was invested. As the clock neared 6 p.m. on April 17th, she was shaking. Zoe was in the middle of an online auction for a photo, one that years ago had made her 4-year-old self famous. In that photo, Zoe's hair is askew, a close-up of her smirking face is in the foreground of the frame, and in the background, a house fire blazes. In her eyes, there is a knowingness, as if she is saying, "Yes, it was me. I did this. Wouldn't you like to know how?" Right? So Disaster Girl, hold on. I'm gonna pull this up so you guys can see exactly what I'm talking about. This meme, if you guys aren't familiar with this. You've seen this, like it's a super famous meme, but let's see, Disaster Girl, let's find it. All right, so this is what the meme actually looks like. Here we go. And like I said, you guys have all seen this. This is one of those super famous ones that is just it's fantastic. I mean, you know, like this is one of those things where you kind of you know, it like taken in the moment, it definitely gives you a little bit of the eerie chill, right? Like she's got that look like, yep, house is burning down and I did that shit, right? Like, you know how they say a meme, you know, a picture can, you know, says 1,000 words type of thing. And this, you know, this is a perfect example of that, and that's what memes are. So the thing is that now they're selling these things, these memes, the initial digital files, I guess, as NFTs, they're calling them, which is a let's just read some of this because I'm a knucklehead and I barely understand this. I don't know what the hell's going on. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, so that meme right there, that initial photograph right there, it actually is sold as an NFT, a non-fungible token, I believe is what it is. Here we go. So anyway, so she wasn't an arsonist, of course, but now she's 21 years old. She's at the senior at UNC Chapel Hill. Online in the world of memes, and 280 character messages, Zoe lives out her alter ego as the always devious Disaster Girl. So it ends up they were doing an auction on this thing, and the bids just kept rolling in. New bid almost every 3 minutes, 38,000, 45,000, 50,000, kept pumping up. And eventually this thing sold for $500,000, $500,000 for this meme, the original, which again, she was a four-year-old girl at the time when this was taken. And then boom, it sold as an NFT, non-fungible token, which is, again, voodoo, right? I mean, so somebody explained to me this. So it's basically like selling a work of art or anything else, except the issue is that it's everywhere. You know what I mean? So for instance, I just pulled it up on the internet, and there's a high resolution version of this exact photograph. I don't understand. So they've like stamped it as like an individual thing, and then they've sold it, and it's $500,000. But I mean, is it worth anything? I think it's just weird. It's really weird to me what's going on with this NFT stuff. And let's see, here's another one too. So as we talk about this, like I said, if you understand this better than me, I appreciate you calling and telling me, because I kind of get it, but I also kind of don't. It's like people that collect fine art, I guess. It's the same sort of thing, right? It's like you can see like they put great value in these photographs or these paintings, let's say, that a child could have done in some cases. And you're like, why is that worth anything? It looks like trash. But right, there's some sort of something that makes it valuable. I don't know. It's weird. Again, you know, values in the eye of the beholder and all this, but I don't know. So anyway, so it ended up being that she sold this thing for $500,000, and there you go. So put up the memes of anything, because who the hell knows? If you get famous, maybe you're going to be able to do some amazing things here and sell them for who the hell knows how much. But okay, so anyway, that's the deal with this. She got a $500,000 payout selling this the original Disaster Girl meme as a NFT, non-fungible token, right? So anyway, here's another weird one. So this is from the Review Journal, and it's like this. It goes like this. So more NFTs, all right? If you guys don't know what the hell NFTs are, well, I'm still trying to figure it out myself. But again, it's weird. It's weird stuff. What's up? I see you there, Super Vike. Thanks for showing up. So, okay. So from the couch he's currently perched in, Justin Blau sat and has watched his life change. It was Sunday late in February, and the star DJ producer was in his living room tracking the live internet auction of 33 non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, an of-the-moment type of digital asset. The sale was done in conjunction with the third anniversary of his debut album, Ultraviolet. This was the fourth and final day of the auction. As the bidding neared a close, Blau seemed poised to rake in a hefty sum of around $1 million for NFTs that included digital artwork and previously unreleased music. But then, right, looks like it was going to be about $1 million he was going to make. But then a flurry of activity came. He says, we're all sitting there in front of this TV screen, and the leaderboard was up on, and suddenly, boom. He ended up selling, instead of $1 million, it ended up being $11.6 million in these NFTs, right? And the highest single price item ever sold was $3.6 million, and he got that as well. Like, snatched up $11.6 million in a single day in these NFT auctions, and, like, I still don't get it. I still don't get it. You know what I mean? It's a weird world we live in, because value is what... Right. It, like they say, the price is always what somebody's willing to pay for it. That's the right price. But then if we're saying they're paying $11.6 million for these digital assets, that, you know, the only way you gain money back from the digital asset is by selling it. Right. I mean, I don't know. I'm confused. I'm still confused about this. So what happens? Right. You spend $3 million on a digital thing, and then you have what? What exactly do you have? You understand? I don't know. I'm still confused. Anyway, if you can explain this, I'm going to keep trying to figure this out. What the hell an NFT is, a non-fungible token. But it creeps me out a little bit that this is the weird world we live in. And maybe I'm too old. Or maybe I'm a dinosaur already. Maybe it's time to like retire me to the boomer field. I just don't understand. Like, I don't get it. It's one thing, like if you buy like a painting, you have it, right? It's like there. Right? It's like a thing. But if it's a digital thing, that means like if the servers ever go down, you have nothing. Nothing at all. Again, I'm confused as hell. But anyway, that's what we're talking about. And one more quick word from our sponsor. We get a couple more articles. This is just episode one of season two of Conspiracy News with Michael Strange. We're just doing our thing talking about NFTs right now. First, it was Havana Syndrome, then UFOs, and now it's NFTs. And I'm still confused. I'm confused by all of it. But anyway, here you go. Quick word from our sponsor, and we'll keep on trucking.
Are you digging the show? If so, you can support us quite easily and at no additional cost to you if you already have an Amazon Prime account. Since we stream on Twitch every day, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and they give you free games on a monthly basis for your personal use, and also a bonus $5 a month to send to your favorite streamer as a way to bring more people to Twitch. And all you have to do is sync up to two accounts and click subscribe. Thanks for considering us.
Okay, so NFTs, I don't know, like I said, that's something we'll keep an eye on on this show, of course, because we can kind of do quick hits on this show and have watch me just, you know, wrinkle up my face and scratch my head and wonder what the hell is going on in the world we live in. But there we go. NFT is a non-fungible token, and they're selling for crazy money. Now, here's the weird part, okay, about the NFT stuff. Is so, for instance, if I did an NFT, right, and put it up, it costs me money to put it up. I was looking into this. They have this thing called gas fees. And you got to pay in Ethereum and all this other stuff. And that's like to mint it into the blockchain to make it a unique item, right? So it's not cheap in some cases, you know, like, you know, it's like, let's say 50, 75 bucks, 100 bucks to mint these things as unique pieces, unique NFTs. So, like I said, I was looking into this a little bit, trying to understand it. And it's still outside of my. Right, I still don't really get it. Like, I'm trying to understand it. But anyway, so it costs money to mint these things in the NFTs, and then somebody buys them. But like I said, if I do it and I put it up, I'm probably going to be out the gas fees because nobody's going to buy it. So you understand? So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? It's like, to sell an NFT that has some sort of value, you first have to be famous, right? It doesn't go the other way. You don't like make an NFT and then become famous, right? You see? I don't know. Weird. It's just weird. It's almost like, you know, so Kim Kardashian could probably, you know, every stupid tweet she ever put out about some stupid things, she could probably be selling these NFTs for crazy money, right? Because she's Kim Kardashian. She's super famous. But again, you know, you or me or anybody else that's like, hey, I'm going to try and sell some NFTs. I don't think it works that way. I don't think everybody's going to be dying to be snapping up some crappy little digital drawing Michael Strange did. You know what I'm saying? I don't think so. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on this NFT stuff and the madness as it continues to happen. Here's another one. This is from, oddly enough, everybody knows that the whole war in the Middle East and Afghanistan and all the rest of this crap has been raging on for decades now. Oddly enough, they're saying that as of September 11th this year, our fearless leader, the guy who probably can't tie his shoes, if we're being perfectly honest, tie his own shoes, he is saying that we're going to remove the troops from Afghanistan, right? Now, it's weird to me that when you say something like this, it ends up being a... I don't know, more of a political fight, right? So you get some of the generals that are saying things like, well, you can't actually just remove the troops because then, you know, a vacuum is created and the Taliban will take over Al-Qaeda, whoever, right? And then it's going to turn into another hotbed of, you know, terrorism. Well, I don't know. It just seems to me like people out there harassing each other and being really bad. And this is an ugly situation. So, you know, whereas it sounds great to remove troops, I'm not saying they should stay. I'm just saying that now it's odd that it seems like the general sentiment is, yeah, bring the troops home, you know, like they shouldn't be over there. But then it happens and you get pieces like this. This is from the BBC. The Afghanistan war. How can the West fight terrorism after leaving? And that's the headline. We've actually got Axel in the caller queue. Let's go to Axel and talk about what's up. Axel, welcome to Conspiracy News with Michael Strange. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mike, it's Axel.
Yo.
I figured I could call in and do some NFT chat.
All right. Can you explain what an NFT is to me? Okay, wait. I think I kind of explained it. Can you explain why it's worth something to me? How about that?
Okay. Well, I'm just going to give you the generic answer that it's worth something if people are willing to pay for it. I mean, it seems basically like a scam to me. You know, the real problem with them is that it's unclear what you get with an NFT. Like it's a token that says you own a particular digital asset, but that ownership doesn't come with anything like traditional ownership. Like you don't have unique possession of it. You don't have the copyright to it, for example, unless that was transferred to you separately.
For example, that meme, the Disaster Girl meme, we can all still use that meme. So it's not like that you're getting paid for it. There's no like royalties that come with it or anything of this. It's kind of voodoo, digital voodoo, right?
Yeah. Well, and unless you also transferred the copyright to you somehow, you don't have any right to stop other people from using it. You know, like a lot of the stuff we use online, technically we're breaking the rules when we do it because, you know, we don't have permission to, you know, use this picture or whatever. But in theory, someone could stop you. But no one even theoretically, you can't even theoretically stop other people from playing the music. If you have an NFT that says you own a certain song, you have to separately have had the copyright transferred to you.
So it's not even the same damn thing. Ownership is like something completely different. And so we're literally minting a digital version of ownership that only means something to who? the person that bought it? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, not to the courts, probably, is what the issue would be. You know, when you like it's a assignment of ownership that's on the blockchain. And so, you know, in theory, you can look at the ledger and figure out who owns it. But I mean, is a court going to enforce that claim? I mean, there's normally rules about how you transfer intellectual property in courts, and it's not whatever this is.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever this is. So you agree it is. This is weird, right? This thing is freaking weird. And it's becoming more and more weird because now people are creating them just for the purpose of selling. I actually spent some time looking at some of the actual marketplaces for NFTs. And that's how I learned about the gas fees and minting your stuff on the blockchain, and all this other stuff. But there's a ton of just crap out there that like nobody wants. But people think it's some kind of gold rush and they're throwing all their shit up there to sell it. And like I said, unless you're Kim Kardashian and you have interest first, nobody gives a damn. Am I right? That seems to be what this is.
Yeah, it seems to be a way for the Ethereum people to make a little bit of money off people, you know, taking a chance to make some money. I mean, I think it's just a thing that's going to be around for a couple months and then is going to go away when, I mean, it's really just a problem of some people have too much money and there just aren't any good assets to invest in, I guess. And that's why you're doing art speculation that doesn't even involve real artwork.
I can't believe there's not better things to spend your money on. I just can't believe that, but okay. It was a crazy world, eh?
Yep. Well, thanks for bringing the new show back. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, right on. I'm glad you do. I do enjoy doing it. Like I said, we're probably going to shoot for like Mondays and Fridays. So we have like a 5-day a week type of thing and kind of go from there. So I'll play it by ear. Like I said, I just don't want to get burnt out, man. That's a lot of work and stuff. So
You tricked me, though, because I thought it was going to be at 9 o'clock tonight. So I missed the first bit.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to still do the same thing around 3 p.m. Pacific, just to kind of break it up. And then, as you know, it'll go the next day to the podcast and the rest of that. So you can catch it then. So, you know, you don't have to catch it live. You know.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike. That was just what I wanted to say.
Cool, man. Appreciate it. That's Axel from Twitter. Appreciate the call. Thanks, man. Okay. Now that's the thing, right? NFTs and the rest of this, I don't know what it means. Like that was a great take from Axel, and I agree. Is that when this hits the courts and ownership becomes a weird part of this, what happens as a result? I don't know. So anyway, just back to this Afghanistan war thing. It's weird that when they remove the troops, now there's like political infighting. You know, it's like, if you leave now, you know, all the terrorism is going to just be so just read just a little bit of this, right? It's a problem that is starting to vex UK policy chiefs, removing the troops from Afghanistan, by the way, is what the problem is, as the deadline of 11 September for US President Joe Biden's withdrawal draws closer. I think they could probably have, you know, not made such a tongue twister. But anyway, as the British Chief of Defense Staff, General Sir Nick Carter, said recently, this was not the outcome we had hoped for. There is now a serious risk that the gains made in counterterrorism over the last 20 years at enormous cost could be undone as Afghanistan's future takes an uncertain turn. And I think you could probably say that about a lot of places in the world, right? You could play, you could say that a lot of, about a lot of places. So I don't know. I don't know. Like, this is, again, right, the infighting of the military-industrial complex versus, again, here, you know, the conversation we always have on the other show, Troubled Minds, we talk about this often, you know, the illusion of safety for what? What do you want to give up, you know? I'm sure there's families that have, you know, young men, young women out there in the military that probably don't want to be in Afghanistan, you know, like talk to people that have spent a lot of time in these war-torn areas in the Middle East or other places in the world, not just the Middle East, clearly, yeah, but Africa. There's tons of places in the world where it's just war-torn and just bitter and just awful places to be. And, you know, I don't malign the people like that. It's just that, you know, who wants to live in that? Who wants to live when you never know if a bomb's going to land on your neighbor, you know, or yourself? It's just, it's a sick world out there. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm more inclined to say, bring the troops home, you know, like these are people out there that have, you know, bled and died. For what? I'm not even sure there's a goal here. I guess it just depends on who you ask. But, you know, and some say that, well, without a military presence there, you're going to allow terrorism to just kind of do its thing. And then they're going to plan the next 9/11. And, you know, it's fear, 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 fear. I mean, let's be real, right? Like, if they want to do that, they're gonna find a way, right? It's not gonna be just Afghanistan, but by the same argument, you can't really put a garrison, right, in every you know, quote, dangerous country in the world, that to try and, you know, beat them down and keep the terrorists at bay. I just don't think it works that way. But anyway, just kind of curious how it's back in the news because it's happening. And, you know, Biden, our fearless leader, has given the deadline by September 11th this year, right? Of course, the notable day to get people out of Afghanistan, to get the troops out. And so now this is an article from the BBC talking about how the United Kingdom and their military assets don't like this. They want the United States to stay. So, like I said, it just depends on who you ask. Just worth pointing out. We'll keep an eye on it. What's up? I see you guys there in the chat. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for hanging out. One more article and we are done. Done. And then we'll have season two back in the books. And then we'll be back. So, like I said, we're going to try and aim for Monday and Friday for this show, about 3 p.m. Pacific. And be just like we do, like an hour, kind of maybe a nice way to bookend the week. And then we'll still have the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday Troubled Mind show. So 5 days a week, you guys will have a show, and it'll be news show, Troubled Minds, you know. So anyway, kind of, as you know, they kind of end up inspiring each other. So some of the stuff we talk about, like we talked about the UFO article today, we'll probably add that to the show this week as part of a Troubled Minds thing, because there's a lot that Harry Reid said that needs to be explored. So anyway, as we finish, check this out. You guys ever heard this term? This is from The Guardian, which again is trash journalism, if you ask me. And if you ask Penny Bunny out there, what's up, Penny, if you're out there listening? And I hadn't heard of this. I was reading this and I was like, what the hell is this? From The Guardian, Monster Fatberg. F-A-T-B-E-R-G, a fatberg, a monster fatberg, blocks Birmingham sewer. Yeah. What's a fatberg, you may ask? Well, let's find out. Engineers are working around the clock to clear a monster fatberg, 1 kilometer long, which is clogging a sewer in Birmingham. All right. Now, before I tell you what it is, what do you think it is? The blockage is not expected to be removed until June, water services company Severn Trent said in a statement, adding that the fatberg was about 4 miles east of the city center in Hodge Hill. The mass is thought to weigh about 300 tons, equivalent to 250 cars. The water services company was alerted to the stoppage after its sensors detected rising water levels in the sewer. Now here we go. What's a fatberg? I'll give you a second. The Jeopardy second. Okay. First time I'm hearing this. So if I'm amused and you're not, well, I apologize. We'll tune in next time. But here we go. The fatbergs are formed when oil, grease, and fat poured down drains combine with non-biodegradable items such as wet wipes, nappies, and cotton buds. A previous study revealed a cooking soybean oil is the main contributor, making up nearly 90% of the mass. Well, there you go. Now, if you didn't know what a fatberg is, well, I didn't, but now I do. Now I do. But there you go. So this is a there's your news from the Guardian and from the United Kingdom, and well. a monster fatberg. Okay, so anyway, as we finish this up, you guys know me. I will drop all of these links as part of the podcast and part of the when this goes over to YouTube. So the way this works is we can monetize this on Twitch. Speaking of which, one more time to let you guys know, I know many of you guys are already aware of this, but just going to play this from time to time. So, you know, we can monetize on Twitch, and if you can sub up, if you've got an Amazon Prime, et cetera, so on. Here you go.
Are you digging the show? If so, you can support us quite easily and at no additional cost to you if you already have an Amazon Prime account. Since we stream on Twitch every day, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and they give you free games on a monthly basis for your personal use, and also a bonus $5 a month to send to your favorite streamer as a way to bring more people to Twitch. And all you have to do is sync up the two accounts and click subscribe. Thanks for considering us.
Okay, so that's that. So since we can monetize on Twitch, they have a 24-hour exclusivity period. So we stream on Twitch exclusively to do this show, and then 24 hours later, this archive will get pushed to YouTube and also made into a podcast. So you can find the podcast, if you prefer to listen to it that way, on troubledminds.org, the official website there. The actual podcast is right up on front page, along with the other one, Troubled Minds. You can find it on iTunes and all the other places you'd expect to find it. Just put in the search term and it'll pop right up. But okay, so that's what's going on with this. So we do the first day is on Twitch. 24 hours later, you'll get it on YouTube, and we'll just keep doing this. We'll keep talking about the news and the rest of this. So if you guys are want news stories talked about, there goes the phone line. If you guys want news stories talked about, you know what to do. Just drop them in the conspiracy news folder or bracket or whatever you want to call it on Discord, and I'll see if I can mix them in as we go and talk about some of these things. And you know, like I said, I'm no expert, as you guys know. I'm just another dude with a microphone that's just trying to talk about some important things that need to be talked about. And, you know, whether that's a UFOs or a fatberg, well, well, here we are. Here we are. Sometimes humor, sometimes serious, all times irreverent. So anyway, as we finish this up, that's what's up. So welcome back to season two of Conspiracy News with Michael Strange. This is episode one, season two. And so expect Monday and Friday about 3 p.m. Pacific, we'll do this show for an hour. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll do Troubled Minds at 7 p.m. Pacific. And that's what's up. So that's what we're doing, and that's what we're talking about. So if you guys like more of a shorter conversation about the news and kind of like some quick hits, that's what the show is. So if you like a little more of a longer conversation with regular callers and more of an in-depth conversation about particular topics, like maybe the UFO stuff or, you know, trying to get back to some cryptids or some paranormal, some of that, you know, the surveillance state, then Troubled Minds might be your thing. Maybe you like them both. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But we're just doing what we do and hoping to put it out there and hoping it resonates with somebody. So there you go. One more time. I'm Michael Strange. Thanks for tuning in. So tomorrow, Monday. Wait, no, it's today. Today's Saturday, right? I don't even have my days right. Okay, so tomorrow is Sunday, so no show, but this one will be up 24 hours from now on YouTube. And then Monday at 3 p.m., we'll start with the rest of these conspiracy news. So plan on Monday and Friday is when we'll do this show. And I think it's a good time because we can kind of see some of the information that data dumps from Friday, and then around the time we do it on the actual Friday show for conspiracy news will be around the time they're data dumping. So I think Monday and Friday are kind of good bookends to do the news, and then there you go. So anyway, thanks for hanging out, guys. Thanks for being here with us, and we're back to doing this, and you know what to do. Please spread the word, let people know, and thanks again, Axel, for the call. Thanks for clarifying some of the NFTs. So I'm glad that I'm not the only one that's confused, because, well, an NFT confuses the shit out of me. So we learned two terms today, guys. An NFT is a non-fungible token, and a fatberg is a big blob of grease and wipes stuck in the sewer. All right, so there you go. What's up? What's up, Robert? I see you there. Just found out you were live. Oh, crap. Oh, well. NFTs, fatbergs. That's the bookend, sum it up. But anyway, thanks for hanging out. We are back Monday and Friday for this show. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for Troubled Minds. Thanks for being here. We're going to take off and do our thing. Have a fantastic afternoon. The A's are getting their ass kicked, so I guess I'll find something else to do. Thanks, guys. You're the best. I'll see you on Monday at 3 p.m. All right. Oh, shit. Yeah, okay. I don't have all my stuff square because, like I said, my overlays were all jacked up. I had taken everything apart to try and kind of soup it up and do things better or different. And then when I went to do this just show yesterday, I fired up OBS and went to the right profile, and it was a mess. I was like, shit. Okay, well, so that's why it got bumped. So I just put it back the way it was, and then I'll see if I can change things up. Anyway, so thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being here. And as we do it, let's see. I feel like I'm missing something. I can't just click end. We're missing this, right? I think we're missing that. So, again, I'm not going to read off the people that have subbed up yet because I'll give us a sec to get back on track there. But if you want to be part of the show, sub it up. Appreciate that. Go down to the bottom of the Twitch page. Just click sub. It's you can send us a couple bucks a month, and it does help pay the bills. Appreciate that. And I'll have a Star Wars crawl with a thank you to the folks that have subbed up, and we'll get back on that. So Fatbergs, NFTs, Troubled Minds, and Conspiracy News. Well, yes. So we'll update the Star Wars crawl. We'll get that going. We'll get that back up. But okay, just like I said, we're kind of getting our feet wet, getting back in the flow of this. Season 2, Episode 1, Conspiracy News with Michael Strange. Thanks for hanging out, guys. If you missed it, just watch the archive. It's going to be right here on Twitch. Tomorrow, 24 hours from now, it'll be pushed to YouTube, and you can watch it there as well. So see you then. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you Monday. Thanks for being here. This is where I say, what do I say? I don't think I have an outro for this, do I? I think this is where I say iced coffee is the best. Iced coffee is the best. All right, guys. I'm out. I'm out of here. You have a great one, and we'll see you soon.